Yes. And we're live. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I've got to get in the mic. And tonight I'm really, really excited because I have Cheryl Gentry on the show with me. And I'm just really happy to have her because this woman is so coveted. Everybody wants to speak to her. Everybody wants her as a mentor. She is, you're going to get to hear about that. Like, it's, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. So today, like, I didn't do much today. I did work, but I was still sort of basking. And basking in the glow. That's Cheryl's, one of her handles, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm basking in. And you know, when I say that, I think of basking in the glow of love. You know that song?
Yes.
Right? And so it's been running through my head all day, like basking in the glow of love. And that's who you are. But so I had a sad story today. One of my friends who lives in my neighborhood, her house burnt down.
Oh, so sorry to hear.
Like a brownstone, completely, utterly gutted. And she was in Boston when it happened.
Oh, no, so no one was home. At least she's
dead. Yeah, nobody was home, but she has two children. Her business, all her business stuff burnt to the ground. It's just like awful. And so I'm just really sad about that. And just a lot of stuff going on. I did a great event at Yelp last week, which was just awesome. It was so fun. I laughed the whole time. You see, when I'm laughing and doing service, it means things are going really well.
Right?
I love laughing.
Oh, wow.
I love, yes, it's you therapy. Know, when you're doing networking events and people having fun. It was, for me, it was like a comedy hour.
It's therapy.
It was like entertainment, right?
Yeah.
But people, the mission was accomplished because my mission was that people were going to share, connect, and they were going to walk away, connect with somebody that they could do business with. And the people did. It was so great. And then also, it was Fernabo. We had people register. And I received emails from people saying, Noreen, I'm so pumped for the rest, because it was at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. Good.
I'm so pumped. And I've got so much energy. Thank you so much.
Good.
Now, you know, that's...
So you affected someone and helped them out.
It was so great. Yeah. It was so fun. So I love doing stuff like that, and I'm really up to do more. And then I finished I have this thing called 10 Tips, 10 Days,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm focus grouping that with a bunch of people. And so that just completed. And one of the things that one of the ladies on the focus group said, her superpower was Athena, right? And so she said that when she was... saw herself slipping, she jumped into Athena. It pulled her forward. And that's what it's supposed to do. When you create, like taking on a new game or creating a new stand for your life, it's supposed to pull you forward. There's mm-hmm. nothing that you really should do. You just recognize when you're not being, right? And then it pulls you forward. So that was really great. So I've had a great week. And, you know, like I said to you coming here today, I really feel happy in my life.
Good.
You know, I feel in alignment and I feel balanced. So...
Thank you.
Less about me and more about you. This is Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we have Cheryl Gentry from, and I love that name. It's just, how did you get that name?
Cheryl Gentry?
Yeah, Gentry. That's just like the Gentry.
My dad, and I recently did the 23andMe.
Uh-huh.
And found out and went back to the Gentry brothers that sailed from London back in the 1800s uh-huh. and landed on the Chesapeake. So I'm from D.C.
Uh-huh.
In the Maryland area. So
that's
the family
English.
Name.
It had some English stuff to do with it. Yeah. So Cheryl Gentry is on the call tonight, and she is from Glow Media. So I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. And we're Glow Global Events now.
Yes, Glow Global, yes.
Glow Media is still our corporate founding name.
Mm-hmm.
But about 2 years ago, as we were approaching our 20th year in business, we did a rebrand, kind of updated and refreshed it. We're still glowing, but it's Glow Global
what
Events because
you?
Of
what?
Our
what?
orange is my complete energy color. So doing events, we had to have something that was energetic. And as soon as you saw the brand and the look and the logo, orange has been my favorite color.
Great. And so you are Glow Global, and your handle, Basking in the Glow of Love.
Yes. Well, not of love, but we sprinkle love in our events. But
it's like love.
Yes.
It's basking in the glow, right?
We're basking in the glow.
But it's like, for me, it's for me, like, I think of love.
Yeah.
you know? And so it's kind of like love, because you love what you do.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that, like, when I met you, it was clear to me that you absolutely loved what you do.
I love, 20 years later, I love what I do.
So I want to go like just a little bit. So you're from the DC area. Are you, do you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother who mm-hmm. lives in LA. Mm-hmm. He's a production designer. So okay. he's in the arts and Hollywood. He has a new series on Hulu, which is the horror genre. But I love watching. He and I used to watch a lot of horror movies together. Uh-huh. And so he's production designing this amazing show now. Mm-hmm. And my sister is a celebrity hairstylist. She's actually in New Orleans.
Okay.
Filming a new movie, a new Netflix movie.
Nice.
And so my mom raised three entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and we're all very artistic in what we do.
Good. Was your mother artistic?
My mom's an opera singer.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yes. And so we grew up in music. We were in the DC Youth Orchestra. I played the flute. My brother played the clarinet. My sister played the violin. So we were always very musical. Uh-huh. My sister and I danced in the Washington School of Ballet, uh-huh. and also the Capitol Ballet, which is an African-American-owned ballet company in DC. Uh-huh. And that was just our life.
Wow. That's
very artsy. So we all picked very artsy careers, but right. we're entrepreneurs at the same time.
So let me ask you, how did you get into your industry? I know I've heard this story before, but I just want to know, how did you get into your industry? And did you know you wanted to be an event planner when you came out of school?
Well, I've always been completely passionate about planning events. My mm-hmm. mom would have a big Christmas party. And I was always there making sure the table was set, what was going to be on the menu.
Right.
So I was always very girly, liking to plan parties. Uh-huh. I went to school at Howard University and majored in human development.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got out, I got a job at Marriott in their corporate headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And back then, there wasn't a title called event planning.
Right.
The HR departments did the company picnic
right.
and the Christmas party. And that's what I found myself doing and staying in the office until midnight.
Right.
Even though I did HR and benefits management, that was just kind of a byproduct of the energy and the excitement that I felt when it was time for the Christmas party or the company picnic.
Right. So you were the person.
I was the person to
and
go
so
to.
And so how many years did you do that for?
Ooh, I was at Marriott for about 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Then I went on to Colonial Parking, which is mm-hmm. a huge, big parking establishment in mm-hmm. D.C., planned all of their events. But again, I was in HR.
Right.
I left D.C. and came to New York. I worked at Arista Records. And I was in artist development, mm-hmm. but still, it was the album release parties and all the events that I just felt drawn to. It was
right.
like a magnet.
Right.
And then I left Arista and went over to Gerbeau and Boss.
Right.
And it was the fashion shows.
Jeans?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And it was the fashion shows and the 7th on 6th shows that I just felt like this is what I needed to do.
Right.
You know, I've been in business 20 years, about 22 years ago. Even the gifting suites wasn't a big idea. And sometimes right. I like to say, if you really look back in history, I probably kind of invented the
right.
gifting suite. I would pack up all of our clothes. I would go to LA. I would either go to the Soul Train Awards or the Grammys or whatever awards that was going on
mm-hmm.
and just gave away product.
Right.
And that was we're going to blur out what logo someone's
right.
wearing.
Right.
And so it was a really good time, and we just kind of put ourselves on the map. We did a producer series
right.
where we really identified the producers in the music industry, and we did a commercial with them.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal with that was to go into 5 cities,
right.
and we selected high school students
right.
because I really wanted to teach students that you don't have to be in front of the camera. You don't have to be the artist, but there's so many talented people behind the scenes.
Right.
And I
it's
wanted
like
to highlight
the artist.
Exactly. I wanted to highlight the producers. We did another series with a few publicists. And we went to the high schools and really presented that program. So hopefully that had an indelible memory for
right.
people to say, I don't have to be the rapper. I don't have to be the singer. I don't have to be a designer. There's a whole group of people working behind the scenes
right.
that's really impacting what they see.
Right. So now, when did you take that leap?
Oh, that was 20 years ago. My mentors.
What had you take that leap?
You know what? I had only been in New York for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
what made you come to New York?
I just had to get out of DC.
Okay.
broke off a relationship, and it was just time to leave. And my sister lived here. My best friend was here in New York. And I had been here 2 years, a year at Arista, a year and a half at Gerbeau, met two great women who owned an advertising agency. And after working with them, they kind of showed me the ropes. They were the advertising agency that represented Gerbeau and Boss. And they showed me the ropes, everything budget, everything marketing. I had always been, you know, promotions, publicity within the music business and the fashion business. And they showed me another aspect of really how to merge the marketing piece with that, looking at budgets. And I was learning so much from them. But they saw my passion with doing the events, the fashion shows, the 7th on 6th shows for Gerbeau and Boss, some of the ideas that we were coming up with to really push those brands into the mainstream, into the market. And they said one day, why don't you start your own business? We kind of spent the weekend thinking about names, thinking about what the organization was going to do, how did, you know, it wasn't GLOW at the time, but what was I going to represent? What was going to be my business? And came up with our mission, came up with our goals, who our target audience would be, and then was the fun part.
All in the weekend.
And came up with the fun part and found the name GLOW, and it was GLOW Media and Marketing because it was really going to just be more than events and really how to merge that whole marketing aspect, but also engagement that when you break it down to events, but then add some levels of PR as well. And I went to my boss.
You. You're just like, you're just remembering this.
I am. And I know.
And it's just like you're just remembering it. And I can feel it. Like I can feel the excitement, you know, you're 20 years younger, you're just a little chipper.
I mean, it was really, I went to my boss and I had made business cards at like a really quick express place. And I said, here's my business card. I'm starting my own business. But I'd love to keep you all as a client and work with you. And I stayed on as a consultant.
What did he say?
He, first of all, he said, where did you get your business cards? How did you do this so quick?
I don't play.
Exactly. But I was ready to step out and they believed in me. It was an organization that didn't feel threatened by me leaving and they wanted to support my endeavor. I took my assistant who was GLOW's first employee. And she was at Gerbeau and Boss with me. And we started in my kitchen. We had amazing big clients. I think Vibe was one of our first clients. They were doing a Vibe style show at the Javits Center, which is a convention center.
We're going to hold that. We're going to snip that right there. And we're going to be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen, and we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Cheryl Gentry from GLOW Global.
Events.
GLOW Global Events. So, go back, tell me, so your assistant went with you.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yes. I asked her, I said, do you want to come with a new young company with amazing clients? We had three big clients, or you could stay here. I told her honestly that they couldn't jump her salary to what I was making. Because within compensation, you can't jump an employee so much.
Right.
So I said, you're going to be doing my job and you're not going to get paid for it, basically. And I gave her a week to think about it. And she came back and she said, I'm going to join Glow.
Wow.
And we're still friends to this day. She's just a sweetheart. I've had a lot of employees and a lot of people that worked with me over the years that I've served as a mentor, that I've nurtured, that I've helped out with their career.
Right.
And she's just a sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
My first employee.
Like, I'm getting chills from that because it's just like, it's almost like she was meant to be. You know
yes.
what I mean? It was like that. It was like an intuitive, like a support, like a, wow, that's
yeah.
a big deal.
Yep. And she would come to my kitchen. And we'd work out of my kitchen, and we had three big events we were working on.
Wow. That's great. More stories, more stories. So you've left the company. You have your mentors. One of the things I remember you saying when we met was you don't choose your mentors. Your mentors choose you.
Yeah.
Say a little bit more about that, because most people think that they choose a mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? A woman, an executive that I worked with, I thought that she would be a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And an African-American woman, senior executive at a corporation that I was working at in D.C. And I just knew she was going to be my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought we're both, you know, African-Americans working in this company. Who else do you turn to for
right.
help and support?
Right.
And she agreed to have a meeting with me. And in that meeting, she said, you don't pick your mentors pick you.
Right.
And that was a direct response to, I don't want to be your mentor. And she wasn't that person that I could help, depend on
right.
to help me through my life cycle in the organization,
right.
which really disappointed me. But it also taught me something else, very crucial and very important, that if someone younger comes for assistance,
mm-hmm.
Instead of giving them that response, give them ways that you can help. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're a senior executive or when you have wisdom and knowledge to share, you can always help someone.
Right.
You can always help. Even if it's sometimes I meet people at conferences or events that I'm speaking at, even if I let them know that there's some tools for them to research,
mm-hmm.
whatever those tools
mm-hmm.
will be, listening to their stories. It might just be that one time,
mm-hmm.
But always offering something to help someone instead of just walking away.
Right.
And so that's why I mentor a lot, because
yes, you do.
I had those mentors. I currently have mentors that I can pick up the phone and ask questions. Sometimes it's not as formal as every month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's quarterly, but sometimes one of my mentors serves as a sponsor. If there is ever anyone looking for an event planner,
right.
he puts my name in the pot.
Right.
From the largest organizations to the smallest organizations, he's always thinking of me first
right.
in mind. So
that's awesome. That means you have integrity and he respects what you do.
Yes.
That's awesome. So I'm a firm believer that one has to offer help, right?
Absolutely.
It's not even help, it's support, it's guidance, it's helping them to build their confidence.
Yep.
Because like starting a business, you don't know where it's going to go. I mean, like, how did you build your confidence? How did you know for yourself?
Well, I've always been confident.
Right.
So my mom instilled that in us. My first business, I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and I would sell songs, lyrics
mm-hmm,
to songs.
Mm-hmm. I know this story, but you know.
Yeah, we would write all the lyrics down
right.
and sell them for $5 a song to all of our friends in high school.
Right.
And so we saw a need, we fulfilled it,
right.
and then we made money doing it.
Right.
And so I think we were always all entrepreneurial. And, you know, my mom instilled that in us.
Uh-huh.
So I was always confident.
Uh-huh.
But being new to New York, I didn't know that I could start a business and be successful. I knew that I would be here 20 years later,
mm-hmm.
and now we're looking at succession to get to the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned a lot along the way. One thing I did learn is I started off as an event planner.
Right.
Now I'm a CEO and
right.
have moved out of the planning day-to-day,
mm-hmm.
although I'm still energized by whatever my team is working on. I'm still in touch. I love client relations, so I make sure that I'm involved with the event and know what's going on. Is it the nitty-gritty of what's going on? Absolutely not. But we have weekly meetings with my team, who then have weekly meetings with the clients. I try to jump on those weekly meetings as often as I can, because people do hire who they know and who they like. And so by giving my expertise on calls, ways that we can make processes easier, you know, my job is to really enforce the processes, but create the processes that everything is smooth, not only for our client onboarding, but our staff and our team as well.
So I know that you're creating some fabulous event planning ideas, technologies, and stuff like that. How's that going?
Well, I, you know what I was thinking last week, it's been about a year and a half now that we ran a Kickstarter campaign. We raised $30,000. I decided to do Kickstarter because it's all or nothing. If you raise the money, you get it. If you don't, you don't get anything. We ended up raising $30,000 to build, to get to beta. And one of the things that was a little bit disappointing was by the time I would walk into VCs and I had a killer deck and just talking about event planning and the technologies and the how time consuming it is, and had used so many platforms on the market and understood the pains and weaknesses that event planners were facing with the technology by having to use so many platforms, and part of that platform would be manual. And so I came up with a killer platform called OnSite Planner. I was thinking about 2 weeks ago, when people talk about whether they fail or not, have I failed with this? Because it's not to market yet. We're still in beta. We've gotten some great feedback from event planners who are all waiting for it to come onto the market. It's just that we haven't been funded. And a lot of that has been because the VCs are saying no, and how are you going to run two companies, and where does this fit? And you know what? No one asks Jack Dorsey how is he going to run Twitter and PayPal, you know? And so I'll get there. Now we need to tweak and look at the software and the platform that we had, only because there are more platforms on the market. And so I want to make sure that as a practitioner and as an event planner, that we're still trying to find a pathway to make it easier, but better for you as a planner and better for you as your for your clients.
And so you mentioned, have you failed?
Well, only because it's not to market yet. And so, you know, in the tech world, they say, what, fail fast or...
And fail often.
And, you know, we're still trying to get it done. It's going to get done. But right now, it just, it hasn't been completed, and I thought it would have by now.
But that's your thought. And what's that other statement they say? It's like, it's on, it's never, something about being, God is on time, or he's never, he's right on time. It's that kind of a conversation. I can't, don't ask me about quotes.
And I'm learning so much more along the way. I mean, even that process taught me a lot about GLOW's processes. That I implemented within the service-based business. And so it's just making GLOW a better business. It's going to make OnSite Planner better when we get to market. So here I say that, get to market.
That's right. You are going to go to market.
And so it's an evolution. It's a growth. I'm learning something different, and I'm enjoying it.
And it's a process to learn, and there might be one little piece that's missing. But I've heard in the events that I do is that white women get the money, but they don't get a lot of money, right? Black women get nothing. Asian women are just really quiet. And most Asian women, Latino women, and Black women, and white women too, but mostly those three women, they bootstrap everything. They literally bootstrap, because most of these VCs don't want to give to women because they don't have the faith in women. And they definitely are not giving to Black and Latina. We are the lowest on the totem pole, and we are the last to receive anything. And most of us bootstrap it, which, you know, I'm like, when we do bootstrap it and we make it happen, it's such a proud feeling.
And
everybody comes running then.
And there are a lot of women, you know, that's gotten into the space, that's raising money. There's a woman, Arlon, and I don't remember her last name. She was just on the cover of Fast Company.
Mm-hmm.
She started a fund and is funding companies that look like her.
Right.
And so it's within this last year, it's been a lot of movement with other VCs and other funds that are supporting women mm-hmm. In the diversity of tech.
Right. And I saw on LinkedIn today the 21 black leaders in various companies, some which were companies that they worked for, like Facebook and various other technology companies, and there were some VC women who were creating their own venture capitalist type mm-hmm. organizations. So it's just a matter, it's like meeting
it's
that.
Time, exactly.
Yeah, it's yeah. just meeting that one piece, that one little bit yeah. of the Lego
yeah.
that will burst it right open. So I would just say, you know, I'm reading the book Seed of the Soul, mm-hmm. and he says it gives an example that if you are looking to get married, but you're walking around really upset that you're not married, then that's what you're going to generate. That's what right. your consciousness is going to give out. But if you are walking around going, oh, I'm going to get married, you know, and you're excited about the possibility of creating this marriage, then you're going to get married,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
So it's like you're excited about the possibility of your company being funded and being successful. It's going to happen. It can't not happen.
Yeah.
I always say, not try, that it's already happened. You're just walking into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so yeah, that's really awesome. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Cheryl Gentry from Glow.
You love saying that.
I do, and that's where I get stuck. Glow Global Events.
That's a tongue twister.
Now, let me tell you, every client, every person that comes on here, it's like, if it's the name, the company, it's something. I always screw up. But I always say, if I don't screw up, we're not having a good show. So I wrote a bunch of questions, but like, okay. So when you're doing your business, or when you were in the day-to-day of it, or even now, do you like rely on, do you feel your intuition talking to you? Do you go into any of that?
All
the
time.
Or is it all like, you know, brain?
You know what? I'm very strategic and I'm very stepwise. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because of my horoscope. So I'm Cancer.
What are you? Cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
my husband was a Cancer.
It's very stepwise. I'm very methodical on my approach to mm-hmm. a lot. But I'm also very in tune to my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be proactive and not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened recently, and someone in my office, I said something, and then the exact thing happened that I said it was going to happen. And the girl in my office said, "How did you know that?" And I was like, "I could feel it. I was just about to say you could feel it. I could feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel someone's energy, whether we're meeting with clients, whether I'm interviewing people. I can immediately feel an energy.
Right.
And I'll tell you the situation. We recently hired someone. And 2 days later, they quit. But after she accepted, I said, "I don't think she's the right person."
Right.
But we had made the offer, and I didn't want to rescind.
Right.
But 2 days later, she left.
So when you started in, so have you always been an intuitive, like working with your intuition, or is this something that you developed when you went out on your own?
I think I always had it. Mm-hmm. I've always relied on that. I've never wanted to hide it or bury it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my intuition will cause me to be still because I don't want to lead, of course, my business based on just all intuition. Mm-hmm. But it allows me to stop and pause and not make a decision sometimes. Just maybe think about it. Why am I feeling this? But then look at the pros and cons and then go with, you know, something a little bit more practical. But my intuition is my stillness moment. Like, why are you getting this feeling? What does this mean?
Right.
And then you have to look at it based on business. How is this going to impact my business? There's so many different things that happen of how your business is impacted without just jumping the gun. But I still rely on my intuition, but it allows me to be still.
So it's like a flow.
Yep.
Yeah, and so do you think, so it's a combination of both. I agree that is a combination of both, but I think that being a creative also, a lot of that you create is downloaded and probably, is there a flow when you're talking to a client, you can kind of see?
Well, the interesting thing about events and being creative is you still have to be persuasive.
Oh, absolutely.
And so a part of my creativity is still convincing them to do it my way because I've thought through how it's going to impact me steps down the road.
Right.
So I need to be really persuasive. If me and my team thought through, this is what we want to present to the client, we actually want them to take our recommendation and not come up with another recommendation.
Right.
So the creativity has to be well thought out and we have to think every step because they're going to say, well, what happens if this happens or what happens if this happens or how does this flow or talk to me about how you see envisioning this happening. So we have to do our creative brief and our boards, but it also has to flow through the event and through the end.
Right.
And I think that's how event planners are. That's how we're different than an artist.
Right.
You know, an artist will feel and draw. I'm not an artist, so maybe they have the end, the
but you're
other
doing
side
a different
of
kind
that
of
art.
Drawing.
Yeah, yeah. And so we always
you're
know
actually
the
manifesting.
Other side.
You're actually, for me, what it looks like is you're pulling out, manifesting, creating, and you're actually bringing it to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making
because
it
a conference isn't creative. I mean, it's fun. We get to meet a lot of people, but you know, doing a conference for 700 to 1,000 people. That's not fun. That's not that creative. But we can add some creative elements.
Absolutely.
And we've been creative with scent marketing now. So when you walk in, it's not visible, so it's not smelling like perfume, but we're using essential oils and to flow through the room to give people and evoke different emotions and feelings. We're being creative with food and looking at how we're snacking and not just a lot of junk, but creating things that have probiotics in it or things that'll keep you up or, you know, just really looking at your diet and really being purposeful.
I was laughing because I was at conference this year, food was so bad. I thought I was going to die. Literally, I jumped in a cab and I went to Trader Joe's.
Oh, wow.
And I like stocked up on food.
Yeah.
I actually bought my own food at the conference. People are like, what are you doing? I said, I had to eat vegetables.
Because it's bad. And lately it's been bad because it's really bad if it's junk. Like no one wants potato chips at a conference anymore. You know, so
it wasn't that bad, but like it was just, you know, stuff sits a long time until it gets served and it gets hard and it loses its flavor and texture. And
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. So we talk to the chefs. We ask that if they can use products that are locally grown. Like mm-hmm. we're really sustainable. We're really looking out for our clients. But we want to make sure that we're being bringing the best to the attendees.
Right.
And that we're being cost effective. But sitting and talking to a chef about, you know, buying locally isn't more expensive.
Right.
It just helps with the economy and the neighborhood and the community.
Yes.
Exactly.
So now what are the skills, like the basic, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that say they're event planners. There are a gazillion people out there.
Yeah.
And you still got, look, I'm not an event planner. I did a power networking last week, which, you know, there were 77 people. And like, I'm like this, there's 77 people. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know we're going to register them. We're going to get them in, right? We're going to feed them. And that's the last thing I think about is food. And we're going to have them have a really good session. However, it's really challenging.
Yeah.
It's, and especially if you're working with another vendor or, and then they have five people that they're working with, and they, it's a lot of work,
yeah.
You know? And then we were trying to do it for as little dollars as possible.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't imagine working on a humongous 750 people and a gazillion helpers and start. I can't imagine. So what skills are one of the most critical, not just the strategic, but like what is the most critical skill that a person has to have?
Well, event planning is one of the top 10 most stressful jobs,
okay.
according to Forbes magazine. But you have to be detail-oriented.
Okay.
You have to love the nitty-gritty of the details. You have to have processes in place on how to track those details.
Right.
Because a big part of, yeah, I'm writing the details, yeah, I'm listening to what the speaker wants, but then how are you recording it? And then how are you sharing that information with
right.
others? And so you can imagine over the 20 years I've been in business, now there's shared drives.
Right.
So things are very easy to share with the client. But when I started, it literally was everything on Excel and sending emails and waiting
right.
for the email and waiting the response.
Right.
Now we have shared drives. We use a lot of surveys. We do, when we first sign a client, we send them a client survey to answer all the questions that we're going to need.
Right.
We set up a project management portal
right.
so they can go on. We upload the information so they can see what we're doing real time all the time. We're sharing reports all the time so they can know how many people are signing up, how
right.
many people are registering
right.
for the conference. So it really is, the most important thing is finding the best way to track all that.
I'm laughing because I'm like, I get excited when I got 40 people coming to an event. I get excited. Yeah. It's like, I can't imagine 700s or in the hundreds or in the thousands.
Yes, yes. And then moving some of those people. We've done events where we've had 1,000 people in Hong Kong and 500 of those were coming in from other countries.
Oh, geez.
And tracking itineraries and start dates and departures.
How many people in your organization, when you guys go out on the road, how many people come out with you?
So we have a core team that usually comes out, which is about between eight and 10. And then we bring on day of staff
okay.
to help out with registration. But those 8 to 10 people are really the leads with food and beverage management. So working with the kitchen and the wait staff to
mm-hmm.
make sure that the venue has the wait staff out. Working with the venue to make sure the tables are set like we wanted,
mm-hmm.
the decorator has everything. So then that breaks down into the timeline, which we call our event day TikTok.
Right.
Who arrives at what time? What time is the photographer and videographer getting there to set up? What time is the talent going to arrive to do sound check, to walk on the stage, to see how it feels? So all of those things, we have
right.
our production lead, we have our show caller, we have
our stage manager.
So we bring in, as we move closer to the event, we have quite a few people, attendee management who, you know, works through the attendees, everyone checking in. Making sure their process is smooth when they
right.
check in and getting to their table.
I used to be a secretary back in the day. And so just checking that your boss has his itinerary. It's like that in itself. I can't imagine doing that for like hundreds of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've got to get them in the cars and I've got to get them in the hotel.
Right.
And I've got them. Wow.
Yeah.
You have to be detail-oriented.
Yeah.
And you have to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's one of the, if you can, what's one of the most fantastic, I mean, I'm not sure they all are, but what's the most memorable event that you have done so far in your 20 years? And what's the vision of what you would like to do? What would be like the epitome of an event that you would like to do?
The best event I think we did, which was...
Don't say Kilimanjaro.
No, it wasn't that. although I love all the events that we do abroad. We did an event in Rwanda, in Kigali. And just meeting the people, we always go on site and get to meet the people in whatever country we're going to. We like to adapt some type of cultural activity within the event. And so we had drummers to open up the program. It was just absolutely beautiful. And Kigali was a beautiful backdrop to have that event. We've done events in Mauritius and Hong Kong, but the best event I think we did, which was it was one of the best, and it was for Shiseido.
And makeup people.
Yep. And we built a labyrinth. So as you walked in, the guests registered and you would walk in, but you would have to go through a maze. And we actually hired a labyrinth designer because we didn't want it to just be zigzag and you go through. We really wanted you to have ends and exits, and it was an experience. But as you were walking through that, there were atomizers that would every 7 minutes spray so you could smell as you walk through. And then after you did that, we hired a voiceover artist to really talk about listening the notes, and as you would walk through, and he was saying, you know, lavender. And so it was this experience going through this maze, and it was all about touch points on that. And so I absolutely, that's one of my favorite events.
Cool. Okay. And I also, should we save this? I'm going to save that for when we come back. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm with Cheryl Gentry, and I'm going to laugh, from Glow Global Media.
No, events.
events. Glow Global Events. Yes. See, I'm telling you. So you know, Oprah, I'll be thrown off the show, I guess. But whatever, this is my show. So tell us about your trip to Kilimanjaro, because you are one of the 27% right?
Yes.
27% of people make it
in 5 days.
5 days.
Yeah. And because a lot of people have summited it, but it's just that I'm in the 27% of people to summon in 5 days.
Right, in 5 days. So that means you were kicking butt.
I was crying every day.
You were crying every day?
It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And not physically, because I started training, and that's why I walk so much. But I started training and walking around Manhattan in my boots. And
were they heavy, the boots?
They weren't. They weren't that heavy. They were probably about 4 pounds, though. So
each?
Yeah, yeah. So it's heavier than what
These bloody Doc Martens.
Yeah, like they're like three. Yeah, they were pretty heavy. But they're heavier than my everyday boots, but they weren't, you know, uncomfortably heavy.
Right.
But we were doing the event in Kigali, and I've always wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. It was almost, you talk about that intuition earlier, it was almost innate that I knew that Tanzania was that close.
Your family sold around the world or somewhere.
Exactly. And so I got to Kigali, and we were meeting with the tour operator for some of the cultural activities, and I said, oh, wait, how close is Kilimanjaro? And she says it's like an hour of flight. And I was like, do you do trips to Kili? And she was like, absolutely.
Kili, you got very familiar.
Yes, I did get very familiar after I summoned it.
Not Kilimanjaro, Kili.
Yes. And so she sent me the itinerary. She sent me the days that would have been after the conference we were doing. And I started asking a bunch of friends. And everyone said yes initially.
And then they punked out.
But then, yeah, little by little, everyone was dropping off for whatever reason.
It's my corn hurts.
I know, it's so funny. My sister said, this is your bucket list, not mine.
Right.
So she ended up not going, although she was in Kigali with me. But I got the itinerary. I started shopping. I started asking friends. Another friend of mine had tried to climb but didn't make it, so I was getting her advice. You know, went to the doctors, got my shots. But I really started looking at homeopathic options to help me get up there. So I started taking chlorophyll shots. I bought
Shots like that or injections?
Drink shots. I started buying ginger gum because that was supposed to help with nausea and altitude sickness.
Altitude.
Yeah. And I read everything I could. I just felt like since I was a girl, and I have my grandmother's National Geographic collection.
Right.
And I started looking through all the magazines and the books to see if I just dog-eared something about Kilimanjaro.
Right.
Because it was
felt it.
I did. I was like, I have to do this. And I ended up doing it by myself. I hired a porter, a cook, a guide, and when I got there, I was telling this story the other day, I got there and my bag was too heavy.
Right.
And so the guide said, we're going to have to bring another porter to carry the other stuff and the stove and the oven. And they made me...
Jesus Christ. What did you just say? A stove and
an
oven?
Well, that's what the cook had. So we needed another porter to carry that stuff. But I opened my bag and the guide's sitting there with me and he's like, why do you have 5 pair of shoes? Why do you have like 3 pair of sneakers and another pair of boots? And I was like, I need to take pictures. I want to look different every day. He's like, no, we're going to leave those.
Right.
And so I took those out. I think I had like 5 pair of sunglasses. I had the hand warmers and I had a huge big pack that I think I bought from like, you know, Costco's or Walmart.
Right.
And he's like, why do you have so many hand warmers? I was like, well, I bought these for you guys. He's like, Cheryl, we do this all the time. We don't need hand warmers. And so I offloaded a lot of stuff and,
that's so cute.
And I decided I wanted to leave my makeup bag. And I said, I'm taking my makeup bag. But when I got to the first hut, I felt extremely, you know, you think about vanity and you think about, you know, people are always in the mirror and, you know, you're on social media. And so people are always concerned about how they look.
Right.
And I got to that first hut. There wasn't a mirror and the toilet was a hole in the ground. And
welcome to Kili.
Exactly. And I said, why did I even bring this makeup bag? Like, just the gall of the vanity.
Right,
exactly. And then I look back on the pictures and I still look beautiful.
Right.
But I think we all think so much that we need it.
Right.
But we started out and I cried every day. You know, because when you think someone's ahead of you, we always think linear.
Right.
But people would pass me or I would pass someone and you would look straight and then you would look up and you would look up. And imagine looking up 4 flights and someone's ahead of you 4 flights up. And so that's what would scare me and just would have me crying. And then you meet up at the hut in the camps with other people that are either descending
right.
or trying to climb with you. And just the emotions, it's great to talk to people, but just the emotions, you could feel it if someone didn't summit and was coming down.
Right.
They were in tears, they're right. crying. So then you're thinking, can I make it?
Right.
Or then you would see the people that are coming down like, yes, congratulations, you're going to do
it. Bust it out.
Right, exactly.
And so, then they're running on adrenaline, they could do it again.
Exactly. And so some days, you know, my guide would tie me. Some days I was really slow. One trek between camps, I was going so slow that the one of the porters got to the next camp, dropped off everything, walked back and got my day bag, walked back to the camp,
How far was that?
Oh, it was, I don't even know how many miles or kilometers it was, but it took me hours to get back after he had done it twice. And to carry my day pack.
What do they look like? Are they strong? I mean, are they lean? Are they, you know?
They're tall.
Wiry.
Lean. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And strong.
And strong. Exactly. And
they've they're walking. Great big lung capacity.
Yeah. And they're doing this. As soon as I got back down to base camp, the next day, 2 days later, my guide was going out with another group. I mean, so these guys are used to doing it. You have to have a guide to climb. The guides have to be Tanzanian. And so just learning about their culture
right.
and talking to them on the way up the mountain,
right.
It was just an experience that I will never, ever, ever
forget.
And
so what did they say to you when you were crying?
He was like, no blah, blah, blah on the mountain. He was like, let's go. No blah, 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 blah. And
so what did you find out about yourself while doing that trip?
I found out that I was definitely mentally stronger than I thought mm-hmm. because every day was your mind playing with you, whether right. you could do it. Like I said, it wasn't physical at all, but it was, did I have the capacity to push myself
right.
one more time? Looking, like I said, emotionally looking at people that didn't make it and coming down. It was my quiet time. I journaled a lot. I was asking myself a lot of questions about people that were in my life at mm-hmm, the time. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was an interesting time when I went because I felt that there was a lot of junk around me mm-hmm. For whatever reason. I couldn't identify it. And I started writing about those experiences. I started asking myself questions of whether I wanted to deal with certain personalities. Exactly. I was exactly.
Listening.
Exactly. And it was like the mountain was talking to me. I right. started calling her she. Because when I would look up,
there
that's when I knew I would have to fight. So I even found myself looking down. So there was a humbleness that came over
right.
me.
Reverence.
That, exactly. Exactly. And so it was just an amazing time. Just, you know, starting off with seeing the animals, but then getting to the top, and it was just so
what
cold that there
like
were
when
no
you
animals.
Got to the top?
It was very cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you said it was really cold.
It was freezing, but seeing the glaciers, and like I said, my guide would explain to me how the glaciers have receded. So
yes.
understanding nature, understanding global warming mm-hmm. and what's happening.
Yes.
But there was one little walkway that when we got to the top, and there are two reader boards. So at every hut, they have a reader board.
A reader board.
Yes, that tells you at what altitude, how high you are,
mm-hmm.
and it has a name of each reader board. And so there are two on the top of the mountain because
mm-hmm.
one is higher than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and I just sat down. And like I told you, I had written a note
mm-hmm.
that said, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written the note in October, which was a month before I climbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I did it. And I had the date. And I was looking for that sign because I wanted to pull that sign out.
Right.
So out of being cold and trying to find this sign in my backpack. So
I didn't have the thousands
exactly.
of shoes.
And my guide took my GoPro and started doing video of me. And I took the sign out and we took a picture.
Uh-huh.
And then we were out of there. It was time to get back down.
Get out.
Because there were people that had left the base camp
with
me. How
long did it take to get down?
So they're different camps. So base camp took probably about another 4 hours. But I got to one area, which they call Jamaica's Rock.
Jamaica?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some Jamaican guys that climbed, and then they end up jumping because they were high, and so they jumped off the mountain. And it really is that steep that you can jump off the mountain.
And they died?
And they died. And so I was at...
My poor people.
And so I was at Jamaica's Rock, and my guide said, if you don't make it to the top of the mountain in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to have to send you back. Yeah. Well, all the books that I read, I thought that they wanted you on the top of the mountain so you could see the sunrise.
Right.
But in all actuality, if you don't get to the top within a certain amount of time, it's going to be too cold because it's going to take 3 hours to get back down and descend. Right. And so we left at midnight. The sun's coming up.
Oh, okay.
And so we left at midnight, and we had to zigzag all the way up because the top of the mountain is volcanic ash.
Right.
And you could slip and slide back. So over midnight is when the ground is hardest.
Oh, okay.
So we had been walking for 6 hours. We left at midnight. It was 6 a.m. The sun was coming up. He knew it was going to take another 3 hours for me to get back down.
Right.
And so with those temperatures and that cold, you can't be 9 hours in the frigid cold.
Right.
But I made it.
Wow. So you know what that says to me? Yeah, what that says to me is that your tech situation, you're going to make it.
Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
So we are at the end of the show, and
thank
I just want to thank you so much
thank
for coming
you so
on.
Much.
It was just really great.
It was so pleasant. It's like talking to a girlfriend.
That's right. That's how the show is. It's not supposed to be like, you know. So I just want to say thank you very much. And thank you all for joining, and for the people that are going to be listening to this later on.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I knew I loved you the moment I met you.
thank you
so much. And this is Noreen Sumter signing off on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you for joining. Everybody
yeah, thank you all for joining.
Facebook Live. I'll post it.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.